Hey there, hi there, ho there, it is the Carellcast. I am Carell, so very glad you are joining me on this Wednesday, July 28th, as COVID rages yet again, COVID the sequel, it is back, and all of the inane and ridiculous bickering from the last time is back this time, and like you, I have had it up to, like, there's not even a level in me that could be measured as to how I've had it. I've had enough. I've had enough. Enough is enough, as Barbara says. Barbara and Donna, the Donna Summer. We're still arguing over masks 2+ years into it. Other countries laughing at us. We have Congress people again revolting because of the mask mandate on the Hill. And we've got so much going on. And I want to talk about the hearings and I want to talk about the Olympics. I've got a lot to talk to you about today. So please don't go anywhere. Okay, because I got some fresh perspectives for you. Going to lay some wisdom upon you. I am so glad you are watching. If you're youtube.com/reallycarell. If you're not watching the show, you should be youtube.com/reallycarell. If nothing else, to see what color shirt I'm wearing and or if Ember is going to make an appearance. I never do know. Before we begin, though, a piece of radio business. Aging in radio is really weird. Well, aging in general is really weird. It's really odd. And for those of you doing it, you know what I mean. Jack Nicholson said it best. In your 50s and 60s, your idols, your icons, the people that you look up to when you were growing up and coming of your own, start dying. Because they're in their 80s. If you're in your 50s and 60s, they're in their 70s and 80s. And they start dying. And then, when you're in your 70s and 80s, he said just everyone around you starts dying. And he said, that sucks. And he's right. And this today, you know, when Andrew and I went to KFI Radio AM 640 Los Angeles and made history as the first openly gay couple to ever host a drive time radio show on any station, anywhere. Okay. So all you podcasters, broadcasters, blogcasters, vlogcasters and influence, I was the first. Okay. The first. Openly gay man to be in a relationship with my co-host on any major market radio station in the country in a daytime drive time position ever. The first, me. Talk about blazing some trails, honey. And along that way, I met Bill Handel, the bombastic morning host of KFI AM 640. Who let us fill in for him back in the day, even before we were regularly hired, and actually championed us to be hired. Yet, he would also say very disparaging things about us. So, but that's the nature of Bill Handel. So he does Handel on the Law. It's a nationally syndicated show. You may have heard it. And then, of course, he does their Monday through Fridays there. I think he now goes 6 to 9. His show is 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. I've done it many a time. And Handel has been out of his show. And I met Terry Ray Elmer here in Las Vegas a few weeks back. And she gave me the scoop, the dirt. She used to work at KFI and then KABC. And it was basically that, I'm not going to get into his personal relationship, although it's just a ridiculous debacle. But medically, he was here in Las Vegas, living, I guess, when he has the exact same injury as I do, L5, L6, S1. I have L3, L4, L5, S1, or L6, S1. I have four in a row. Discs that are bulging and stuff. He had a laminectomy, which is where they really go in and take out the disc and they fuse the two together. And that was a few weeks back. Prior to that, he was suffering with back pain and was on medication and stuff, so he wasn't on the show. So he's been gone for a while. And he gave an update today that while he's been recovering from the laminectomy, he got an infection in the pig valve that he has in his heart. And I didn't know that he had a pig valve in his heart, but he does. And now it's infected. Well, first of all, that killed another KFI person, Mark Dennis. But I guess he's going to go have another valve put in. So he's in the hospital. And they're transferring him to a different hospital. and he's going to have aortic valve replacement, which is probably open heart. And it's funny because he has a back injury in the exact same place I do, but I haven't gotten surgery. And his aortic valve is bad, and my aorta itself is expanding. So we have problems in very similar areas, but they're at very different stages. And when I heard, you know, he could die. The infection could spread. He could die. He could die during surgery. He plans on getting back on the show. But, you know, this could lead to retirement, this kind of thing. The back surgery and then 2 weeks later, valve surgery. And it was so weird to hear all that happening to Bill Handel, this big, bombastic, bigger-than-life character that I sort of, in my 30s, he was older. When I was in my, he's older than me. And when I was in my 30s, I believe he was in his late 30s, early 40s. So I sort of looked up to him, even though we weren't friends, as someone successful in radio. I later learned what he had to do to get that, what he had to do to be successful in radio. And obviously, I didn't opt for it. And then John McMullen, the founder of Gay ABC, Gay BC Radio, who also programmed the gay channels, I believe, for Sirius OutQ or helped them establish OutQ as a network, John McMullen. So in terms of gay broadcasting, he has made as many milestones as I have. And he runs iHub Radio in Palm Springs. He's having a pacemaker installed because his heartbeat is too low and he's had two strokes because his heart fluttered and threw out clot. And both of these things in one day sort of overwhelmed me today, you know, with that sort of stuff. I'm doing the Dorians too, but the Dorian Awards coming to you late August for TV. And it sort of overwhelmed me. It overwhelmed me because I, of course, am facing issues. You're facing issues. Your friends are facing issues. And I think we forget that those are the real, that's life. You know, those are the real issues of life. And if these anti-vaxxers were in the situation, let's say, that Bill Handel is in, I don't think they'd be rejecting treatments of any kind. You know, if they said, if they were told their heart had an infection in it that could kill them, and they need to have an open heart surgery, I think they'd do it. And anything that was injected to them along the way, I don't think they'd ask questions because they would know it's saving their life. One of the biggest problems with the COVID vaccine is that it was never presented as it's going to save your life. It was presented as it's going to get you back to work. It's going to get stores back open. It's going to, but it was never urgently driven home that this could save your life. Because ultimately, that is the measure of intelligence. Are you smart enough to save your own life? If you're not, nature takes you out. It's called natural selection. So the question is now, Bill Handel is smart enough to save his own life. He is in the hospital, although I don't know that I would have the surgeries that he's had on his back, but my back is different than his back. I don't know if he was having paralysis or what, but he is in immense pain after the surgery. The surgery to fix his back has now brought about a heart surgery. And so if you listen to the show, you know I have a saying that my cardiologist once told me that AFib begots AFib. The more AFib you're in, the more AFib you're in. And then I turned and looked at my doctor and said, isn't that true for everything? Doctors begat doctors. The more doctors you see, the more doctors you see. The more drugs you take, the more drugs you take. It's a self-fulfilling sort of prophecy. And so he is over there doing all he can to save his life. My friend John McMullen does not want to have a pacemaker installed. And 2 weeks recovery, can barely move his left arm for the first 2 weeks, all this other stuff. He doesn't want to go through that. He's going to because his heart rate was 31 beats a minute when he was at the doctor's office. That's too low. Your body needs blood. So he's going to do what he needs to do to save his life. as we all will. And Ember has one elevated liver enzyme that no one is worried about except me. But no matter whatever happens down the road with her, I'm going to do everything I need to do to save her life until we can't. Now, with COVID, we're not at the until we can't. We're at the this could save your life. And if people are literally too stupid to take a vaccine that could save your life, then perhaps their life is not worth saving. And that's what no one will say in public. Okay? Now, I am compassionate. And I will help anybody, no matter of their politics, no matter of anything. If a human being or an animal or anything needs help and I'm around, I'm helping. Okay? A bird, whatever. I don't care. An animal that would normally eat or attack me. If it needed help, I'd help it out. And it would probably try to eat me right after, but whatever. Because that's what you do. But, as Daddy used to say, you can lead the horse to water. Now, I am not going to give intravenous fluids to people who refuse to drink. That's not me. For people who are trying to pull the IV, these are people that desperately need an IV and they keep pulling it out. In the hospital, they sedate you if you do that. And so as we look at this debacle in America, it's a debacle. We are a laughingstock of the world. The rest of the world is opening up because they're just coming off of lockdown. Remember, we've been off lockdown now for 2 months. The rest of the world, Sydney's still on it for 4 more weeks because they saw a spike in Delta variant. They're still on lockdown in parts of Australia. Europe is now admitting vaccinated Americans via travel, and that's it. And they're starting to get to go back to restaurants and diners. But in France, if you're not vaccinated, you're not getting in. Period. Show your vaccination card or you're not getting in. So the rest of the world, they're doing what needs to be done. What are we doing? Acting like the town buffoons yet again. Yet again. We're the buffoons. We're the laughingstocks. We're that. And the arguments are right back and they're just as stupid as they were the first time. And the comments on social media are right back and they're just as stupid as they were the first time. I want to say stupider because the word annoys me. But they are more stupid than they were the last time because now we know better. So there's still no treatment, by the way. While we've been all busy arguing about masks and vaccines, there's been no demand for a treatment, an actual treatment. So if you get it and you go to the hospital, they can give you something and you can get better. We don't have that. All we've got are masks and vaccines. That's it. That's like with AIDS. All we have is a condom. And now PrEP. No cure. I won't go into the conspiracy of that. All right. Now, you know, it's funny. Andrew and I wanted to see the movie Stonewall together. Okay. The one by Oliver Stone. And that weekend, Andrew decided for the first time in years that we'd been together now 10 years to go see his cousin in San Francisco by himself. And we never go anywhere alone, ever. But this was, we were apart 5 days in 11 and a half years. And this was 1.5 of those days. So he, you know, I'm sure I was very dramatic about it all. Well, he never went anywhere alone. And suddenly after 10 years, he was going to San Francisco to see his cousin that lived in the Castro alone. And me, as insecure as I was. Anyway, so he went off. So Friday night, I'm alone. I'm by myself. I'm in Orange County, Long Beach, whatever. And I'm like, what am I going to do? So I said, well, I'm going to go see Stonewall. He went off to see his cousin. So I went to see Stonewall. The next morning, Andrew calls and says he can't sleep in bed without me. He hates it, but he's coming home on the first flight. And see, that's how he was. He would get mad that he couldn't stay away from me. He'd get mad at me that he couldn't stay away from me. You know, I tried to go up here and see my cousin, but you know what? I miss the dogs. I miss you. I miss the house. I want to come home. So he came home. So he comes home that Saturday, being gone a total of like 30 hours. And I told him I would have happily gone with him and, you know, whatever. And he says, let's go see Stonewall. Now, do I tell the man that just flew back to be in my arms that I went and saw the movie we were talking about seeing together for weeks without you because you were off in San Francisco, which he would have seen as a spiteful act because it probably was? Or do I lie and say, okay, I want to go and let's go. Well, of course I lied and said, okay, yeah, great, let's go. I'm dying to see it. And I'd already seen it. So when we get there and we're watching the movie, you know, you try to react as if you've never seen it before. And you try to not like say, oh, I know what happened. You know, you try to take it all in for the first time. It can be a little difficult, you know, because you've seen it. But I faked it, you know, for his enjoyment pleasure. And then afterwards we got to talk about it, which I didn't have to fake anymore because we had both, quote, seen the movie at that point, unquote. That's what the hearings about January 6th are like to me. Congress, which was there for the riots, by the way, Congress is Andrew. They're acting like they ain't seen the movie. Okay? We, the people, are me. We saw the film on January 6th. We were horrified then. We were screaming then. We were demanding justice then. We were yelling arrest them all then. We wanted Trump in jail that afternoon. We knew he did it. We heard the rally. We heard the rioters. Every newscaster live on the air heard all of it, saw all of it, saw the horror, saw them attacking the Capitol Police, saw the MAGA shirts. We saw the bad response, the 2 hours that it took the National Guard to get there, saw the gallows being constructed. We saw the movie. Okay, we saw it. Now they are showing it all again up there, and they're all talking about it, and they're acting like we all ain't seen this film. Yes, we know how bad this is. Yes, that's still terrible. Yes, that's still horrible. But they want us to get as outraged now as we were then. And it's kind of hard when you've already seen the movie. So, again, we are a laughingstock. The world saw the movie on January 6th. Insurrection, the movie, starring Donald Trump, featuring Madison Cawthorn, Ted Cruz, Bobert this, and Marjorie Taylor Greene. We saw the movie. We've been reliving it every day since as these treasonous, seditionist bastards walk around born free. Just as free as the wind blows. Yes, we know. But after, let's see, January, February, March, April, May, June, July. After 6 months, our outrage is waning because no one can stay that pissed that long. Well, I know a few people that can. But you know what I'm saying. So we've seen the movie. We've already been outraged about the film. And I don't want to say that we've moved on, but we just keep shaking our heads like, why is this, is it, you know, what's up? And we now spread memes of the Capitol Police with their hands up, including that really hot one, Fanon or whatever. I know he's probably a rabid homophobe or whatever, but God, is he hot. Fanon, I think is his name. We get it, you know, and the ones that get it, see, right, here's the thing. 49% of everyone in the United States thinks Donald Trump, every senator, and every congressperson that participated in the big lie and let that riot happen, that treasonous, seditionous riot, 49% of us already think all those bastards should be out in the cold and in jail. 49% of us think that they were patriots or heroes or that they were just there exercising their rights. And nothing that goes on in this hearing is going to change that number. Nothing. Fox News is now playing the insurrection. Fox News is now airing how horrible it really was, which goes against months of their programming. And now here's the video. Do you think that's going to change one mind that watches Fox News? No, because if you put them all together, there ain't but one mind that watches Fox News, and that's Rupert Murdoch's. So this hearing, while necessary, is a farce. And I'm happy that Liz Cheney is going after Donald Trump. He's been out of office 6 months. All I heard about when he was in office is New York has got enough to nail him to the wall. The indictments are going to fly. All I heard was all of his acts are all going to, he's going to go to jail. He's going to, and where is he? Mar-a-Lago. Having the time of his life. Making speeches, going on tour. He's on tour during the pandemic again. Yep, that's what he's doing. He's touring, spending millions of dollars that he's collecting from these people legally. And he's not going to jail. Ever. Donald Trump is never going to jail. Swallow it. Get used to it, honey. Shove it down your throat like something that you hate. Like an ex. I'm serious. He's never going to jail. The kids might see some criminal, you know, financial stuff that they get out of by paying fines. The brood is not going to jail. They'd be there already. If they were black, they'd have done been there. They'd be there already. They ain't going. Not happening. And Koff, Madison, whatever his name is, little neo-Nazi in the wheelchair, and all the rest, Ted Cruz, they're all going to go on, run for other offices. They're all going to keep doing tours. Nothing's going to happen to Mike Lindell, the pillow guy. Nothing's going to happen to these people because we don't punish the truly bad anymore. We cancel people for a tweet. We ruin lives and careers for a social media post. Not for treason. We put people in jail for years, for taking a chemical, a drug, okay, or selling a chemical, a drug. Put them away for years. Commit treason, get out in 7 months, or not go to jail at all. I don't know what's happened, but whatever it is, bad no longer gets punished. Unless it's, I don't even know what I can say, what, you know, what kind of bad gets punished. I almost want to say not really bad, bad. Meaning a social media post. Maybe it was aberrant. Maybe it was horrible. Maybe it was terrible. But should your entire life be over? No one died. No one, you know, no one had to even read it really. And if the media didn't report on these things, most people wouldn't have even known about them. So there are all kinds of things that we punish nowadays, except the big crimes. Billionaires have so much money, they can shoot themselves into space, which is probably what UFOs are. UFOs are probably billionaires from other planets out sightseeing. That's what UFOs probably are. But anyway, they can shoot themselves into space, but pay no federal taxes. And we don't punish them at all. We don't take their money. We don't socialize Amazon, which we should do. Nope. We let them frolic and play. But if one of their low wage, no wage, minimum wage employees gets caught putting some sort of something from Amazon in their jacket on the way out, that person's life's going to be ruined. But the owner of the company? Yeah. So that's something to think about. And in your life, do you do that too? Do you nail people and things and stuff to the wall for misdemeanors? Or what? Yeah, and let the felonies go? Do you? Because it's easier. Do people in your world commit felonies against you all the time and you kind of just let it go? But then when someone commits a misdemeanor against you, that's it. They're done. Do you argue with people these days over minutia, but not over the big stuff because you just don't want to get into it? when you hear a pro-Trumper in your family, or you, you know, have a family member that says they're not taking the vaccine? Do you just now shake your head and just leave that fight alone? But then would you fight about something smaller? I think we're all becoming tired of the big fights. And it goes back to what I was saying right at the beginning of the show. If you want to survive, you have to fight the big fights. You can't wuss out. If Bill Handel wants to survive, he is going to have his pig valve replaced. And he's going to go through physical therapy for his back. And at some point, he'll probably have to quit opiates. And other things will have to happen if he wants to live. If John McMullen wants to live, he will have a pacemaker put in his heart. If I want to live one day, I might have to have my aorta operated on. These are the big things that life is going to give you that you cannot ignore. If you get the cancer, if you want to survive it, if it's survivable, and I know a lot of people that have been told they have stage four and it's not survivable, and then they've gone on to live. Not glioblastoma, unfortunately. So there are some cancers that there's nothing. But there are other cancers where you can be in the, you know, we all hope that someone would have beat pancreatic cancer. I hoped that Connie would have. You guys probably hoped that Alex Trebek would have. But we all had someone in our lives that had it at the time, and neither of them got through it. But you fight, and they fought. Because wussing out on the big ticket item is not an option. We have been wussing out on climate change, wussing out on social issues, you know, wussing out on so many things because they're big fights. And, you know, we're not acting like our lives depend on it. In any of the big 14,000 scientists today are out there begging in the media for all of us to take climate change so seriously that we do a lot more than we have planned already. Because they're saying it's not enough and truly horrifying scenarios are going to unfold. We're not acting like our lives depend upon it. We're also not acting like we've already seen the movie. We've seen how all these movies play out. We've seen how the January 6th Commission plays out. We've seen how the GOP plays out throughout history. We've seen what happens when parties like theirs take power, and they may take power in 2 years. They might take the House and Senate and then take the presidency, and this will be like Hitler's Germany. It could still very much happen. And we know where that will lead. Other countries will then destroy us at some point because they won't let us be dictators. We've seen all these movies before, and we know where they're going, and we're acting like we don't. We're acting like we never saw it. Like we just got into town and want to go see the movie. All right. Well, I am Carell and you be who you want to be. So long it doesn't hurt anybody. That is so funny, though. It's truly that way on this Capitol. And people be calling me up. Are you watching these hearings? Isn't this terrible? Isn't this horrible? I'm all, weren't you watching TV on January 6th? I don't need any more horrible than what I saw. I don't need hearings. I saw it all. They're guilty of sin. They should all be taken out and shot because that's the punishment for treason. You know, Shaman Boy is cute and maybe mentally affected, but he should be in front of a firing squad according to the Constitution. That was treason. Open treason, what he did. Sedition. Words have meaning. I am Carell, you be who you want to be, so I don't hurt anybody. Remember, down below me right here is patreon.com/Carell. That's how you support the show. You subscribe at YouTube, youtube.com/reallycarell. And you follow me on social media. It's Really Carell. We appreciate every single donation that we get from y'all. I'm bending down to pick up a wireless mouse. Now I don't have to be close to the computer to actually do things. Isn't that exciting? So thank you all. We'll be back on Friday. Stay safe from the COVID. As you know, the pandemic is raging again, and we are the laughing stocks again. So, you know, let's try to get it back under control again.